This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So dear brothers and sisters, جزاكم الله خيرا for coming to the حلقة tonight. And our topic tonight is how to fix our prayer. So we'll be talking about sujood al-sahw. And to begin with, when we stand up in prayer, we are communicating with our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of Kings. So we are supposed to concentrate in our salat. Whatever worries we have in mind, whatever concerns we have, whatever family or business plans we have, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the power to make them happen or to remove them if there are worries and concerns. So a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to concentrate in his salat, not to think of anything else or anybody else in the salah. So we said, you know, the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to gather all his attention in salat and concentrate in his salat. He's supposed to make the movements of his limbs synchronize with feelings of modesty and humility and concentration. So the mu'min strives in his salat to reach that, you know, state of calmness, khushu' and tuma'nina. And when he reaches this state of calmness and khushu', then he will be, inshallah, included in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So the believers, indeed the believers are successful, those who are humble in their prayers. Now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weakness. He knows that we are humans, and we are weak, and we have shortcomings, we have problems. And it is almost impossible for anyone to fully concentrate in his salah. What is the dalil? We will know in this halaqa that Rasulullah s.a.w. actually made sahw in his salat for a couple of times, actually. And they are well recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. There is a hikmah behind it. He made this mistake so the ummah will learn from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But at the same time, he was a human. And, you know, and a human being would make mistakes in his life. They are not sins. So by the way, sujood al-sahw has nothing to do with the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'un that says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Okay, so it has nothing to do with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'un is talking about those who neglected their prayer. Either they don't pray it on time, or they don't care about their prayer, they don't perform it properly. But here we're talking about someone who is doing a mistake not on purpose. You're not doing it on purpose. It's just your mind was absent, you were thinking about something else, and you made a mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to account for that. By His mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for the mu'mineen, for the believers, ways and methods to rectify their salat when they do a mistake, and then there is nothing upon them. Their salat is correct after that, and everything will be fine, inshallah. This subject, ya ikhwan, of sujood al-sahw is a very complicated subject. So tonight I want you to concentrate with me. I want you to follow me step by step. It's very complicated. One of the most challenging parts of salat. And as a matter of fact, you see many Muslimin, many believers in the masajid, when a volunteer imam, like the official imam is not there and someone volunteers and he makes a mistake, and the people after the salah, they start actually sometimes having a dispute about it and arguing, and everyone will give his opinion about the correct way to fix the salat or the way the salat should have been corrected. And you find different opinions, and sometimes they don't reach a conclusion and they wait for the imam to come or they go to someone else to ask. So this is a very good subject, and we need to you know, inshallah, we master this subject. We need to do it. Because everyone needs to fix his salat sometimes when he makes a mistake. Now, what is the definition of sujood al-sahw? What is the definition of sujood as-sahw, which is called in English prostration of forgetfulness or for forgetfulness? So the ulama, they said there are two prostration. So you make two sajdas. There are two prostrations that the one praying offers to compensate for any mistake that happened in his salat. And after, if you do them, you might do them before salam, or you might do them after the salam. So two cases. And both of them are okay. Well, we'll talk, because some ulama or some people believe that sujood sahw only happens before salam. There is no sujood sahw after salam. So now we, in this halaqa, we follow the other opinion, and we'll tell you why, what is the reason. Now, what could cause the sujood to be prescribed, sujood sahw? The ulama have mentioned three causes or three reasons for it. Ziyada, excess or addition. Omission, to neglect something, or to delete something, to forget something, leave something in the salat. This is omission. And the third one is doubt, shak. So three reasons for sujood sahw. Excess, or ziyada in Arabic language. The second one is omission, to leave something, or a naqs in Arabic language. Doubt, a shak in Arabic. When you have doubt, you are not sure, you prayed three or four. You are in the third rak'ah or the second rak'ah. Did you do the second sujood, second sajda in this rak'ah or not? So we'll talk about this today, inshallah. Now, ziyada, having added something in your salat, the ulama, they said, if a person deliberately adds something in his salat, like a qiyam, or a sujood, or a ruku', then his salat is not valid. If he does it on purpose, right? So this is something that is agreed upon. There is no discussion about it. Now, if he does it due to forgetfulness, sahu, and does not pay attention or remember the addition while having completed the action, until he completed the action, then he said there is nothing due upon him except sujood sahu, and his prayer is correct. And we'll talk about when he will do sujood sahu. Now, they said, if remember while performing that addition, for example, someone stood up for the fifth rak'ah in Asr prayer or Dhuhr prayer, and he remembers that he's doing the fifth rak'ah, then he's supposed to stop now, to leave that addition immediately, and then sit down. And then, of course, he will do sujood sahw after that, and in this case, it will be after salam. But we'll talk about this ruling later on. But now, just to let you know, that if he knows, now if he remembers while doing this action, this addition, then he should stop right away and go back to his salat, finish his salat, and do sujood sahw. Tayyib. Now we have a case study of someone offering five rak'ahs for Dhuhr prayer, for example. The ulama, they said there are three scenarios for someone who offered five rak'ahs for Salat al-Dhuhr. The first scenario, he does not remember that he added a rak'ah except while in tashahud. Yeah, he was in tashahud now, so he completed the fifth rak'ah actually. So he should complete the tashahud, offer the salutation, yani the salam, and then prostrate for forgetfulness, and then do salam again. So this is a clear. He remembered while doing tashahud. That means he prayed five rak'ah, he completed five rak'ah now. Five rak'ahs. So what is he supposed to do? He finishes the salat, he completes the salat, and then do, and he's supposed to offer his salam, the last salam, and then do two sajdas as sahu, prostrates for a sahu for forgetfulness, and then he's supposed to give salam again. So this is the first case. The second case, they said he remembers that he's doing the fifth rak'ah, then he should immediately sit down for tashahud and make salam, then prostrate for forgetfulness. Because there is a ziyada here, there is an addition. He stood up to do the fifth rak'ah, and then he remembered that he should sit down immediately. And then do the shahud, perform his tashahud, recite his tashahud, give his salam, and then he should prostrate for forgetfulness and give salam again. So this is the second case. And the third scenario, they said he does not remember the addition except after salam. then he should prostrate for forgetfulness and offer salam again. Of course, if it is for a short period of time, if he remembered after a short period of time, if he remembered after a long period of time, then he should repeat the salah. Because salah, he did five rak'ahs. He's not supposed to pray five rak'ahs. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So what is the dalil for this? Is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed dhuhr with five rak'ahs. So someone said, has increase been made in salat? And of course, you know, the problem here, those people who leave early, right after the salat, some of them left. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, and why is that? And they said, you have prayed five rak'ahs. So what did he do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He performed two prostrations after having given the salutation. So two prostrations, and then he gave salam again. You always have to give salam. If you do the sujood as-sahu after salam, you need to do another salam, but you don't do another tashahud. There is a hadith about it that is weak. And in the Maliki Madhab, they follow this hadith, Wallahu ta'ala alam, and they do another tashahud. I'm not sure about the other madhahib. But there is no other tashahud. You don't offer another tashahud. You just offer your salam, sujood as-sahu, and then salam again. The second case study here, a person giving salam before the completion of the prayer. So he gives salam after praying two rak'ahs, for example. And then they said, the ulama, they said, whoever gives salam before the completion of the prayer, deliberately, on purpose, then his salat is not valid. His salat is nullified. If he does it on purpose, for whatever reason, then he has to pray again. He has to offer this salat again. But they said, in case of forgetfulness, then we have two scenarios. The first scenario, he does not remember this until a long time. Then he should repeat his salat. After 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or 1 hour, then he should repeat his salat. And the second scenario, he remembers after a short period of time. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned an example, 2 or 3 minutes. Sitting down and doing the dhikr tasbih, or he was just leaving the masjid. And when he was about to leave, within 2-3 minutes, he remembered that he offered only 2 rak'ahs. Then here the ulama, he said he should complete his prayer and then give salam and then prostrate again for forgetfulness and then give salam again. Here he's prostrating after salam. Why? Because there was a gap. Or he made a salam. This is the addition. He made salam before its time, before the right time. So he added a salam because he will be doing another salam at the end. Right? So there is an addition here. And the proof, they said, the hadith of Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led them in the dhuhr or asr prayer and gave the salam after 2 rak'ahs. So this is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he forgot. He prayed only 2 rak'ahs in dhuhr or asr. And then the narrator, he said, then those who were in hurry left the masjid, saying the salat has been reduced. So Rasulullah ﷺ went to the front area, and there was a piece of wood, stood up there leaning on it, like he was angry. This is how the narrator describing Rasulullah ﷺ. Maybe his mind was, busy with something. He was thinking about something. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. So a man stood and said, O Messenger of Allah, they called him Dhul Yadain, have you forgotten or has the prayer been reduced? So the Prophet ﷺ said, I did not forget nor has it been reduced. And then he asked the Sahaba, because he was not sure. Then they asked the Sahaba, and among them were Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. Anhuma, they were present, but they said they felt shy. They didn't want to talk to Rasulullah ﷺ about it. They didn't know what to do. But this man asked Rasulullah ﷺ. So when he asked the Sahaba, this man, they said, you have forgotten, then you have forgotten. If it was not reduced, then you have forgotten. And then he asked the Sahaba and they said, yes. So Rasulullah ﷺ went forward and he prayed what remained of the Salat, the last 2 rak'ahs, and then he offered his salam. Offered his salam. On purpose now, he's doing salam after the first, he's doing sujood as-sahu after offering the salam, for those who do not believe that, you know, sujood as-sahw is not prescribed after salam, just in case you meet someone who telling that this is a hadith sahih in Bukhari and Muslim. So on purpose here, because there was a ziyada, he made salam, he added another salam, and he was talking to the sahaba. So he did not repeat the salat. He didn't say, let's pray asr or dhuhr again. No. He went, because it was a short period of time, went forward, prayed two rak'ahs, offered his salam, and then he did his sujood as-sahw, prostrated for forgetfulness, and he offered his salam again. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, the ulama talked about the case of those who were late to join the prayer and had to stand up to make up what they had missed. You know, the imam prayed only two rak'ahs, and we got two people, some people who came late. And they thought that the imam finished the salat, so they stood up to make up what they had missed. So the imam remembered that he missed two rak'ahs in his prayer, and he went forward to complete his prayer. Now the ulama, they said they have two choices. The first one is that they continue to make up what they had missed. And then they pray, they offer the sujood as-sahw after salam. So they did salam with the imam. They didn't do the salam with the imam, but they stood up to continue. And they are supposed to continue, they don't follow the imam here, in the first case. You see what I'm talking about? So the imam is doing, he's continuing, he's trying to complete his salat, but they already stood up. So they said they have this first option to stand up, they perform the prostration for forgetfulness after they finish the salat, after the salam, and then they offer the salam again. And the second option, they said they may return to follow the imam again. And when he offers his salam, they stand up to complete what they have missed. Now he's offering the imam completed his salat, and he did sujood as-sahw. So they said when they stand up, when he offers his salam, they stand up to complete what they had missed and to prostrate for forgetfulness after the salam. So after they finish their salat, they prostrate for forgetfulness. They don't follow the imam after he makes salam and he prostrate for forgetfulness. Did you get the second case? The second solution or option for them. And they said this is more prudent. Why? Because there is a hadith, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ فَلَا تَخْتَلِفُ عَلَيْهِ. This is a hadith sahih. So the imam was only appointed to be followed. So do not disagree with him. So you try your best to follow the imam, unless it is impossible for you to follow the imam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now the second case, which is the omission. We're talking about the case of adding something to the salat. Now we'll talk about neglecting something or leaving something from the salat. Omission, a naqs. So we have different cases here. The ulama, they said, when they talk about this subject, they talk about omission of pillars. Tarkul arkan. Because we have arkan for salat, and we have wajibat, obligations, and we have sunan. And the arkan, like takbiratul ihram, for example, or reciting surah al-fatiha, or standing up in salat, or doing ruku', or doing sujood, or sitting between the two sajdas, or rising from ruku', or doing the last tashahud, there are around 13 rukun. They are called pillars of salat. These pillars of salat, if they are left, whether they are left on purpose or due to forgetfulness, the salat is not valid if they are not performed. So what is the difference between them and wajibat? Al-wajibat, if you miss them due to forgetfulness, you can just do sujood as-sahw and your salat is correct. But if you miss a pillar, you have to do it and then you pray for sujood as-sahw. And this salat is not valid without that pillar that you had missed. But if you miss a wajib, and there are around 7 wajibat, like مثلاً takbirat al-intiqal, the all the takbirs in the salat other than the initial takbir, which is takbirat al-ihram, or saying sami'allahu liman hamidah, or saying rabbana wa lakal hamd, or the first tashahud, وَالْجُلُوسُ لَهُ, and sitting for it. Or saying رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, or رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي, اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي, the famous dua between the two sujoods. So these are wajibat, obligations. And of course they are not agreed upon, the ulama did not agree about them, but this is the safest opinion. If you want to be in the safe side, you treat this Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Sami'a Allahu min hamidah, Rabbana wa kalhamdu, you treat them as wajibat. Because in some madhahib, they believe they are sunan. But if you treat them as wajibat, then you will be in the safe side. Because if you miss Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in your ruku' and your sujood, then you do sujood as-sahw and then you will be fine. You don't have to go back to that sajda or rak'ah and, you know, recite that dhikr again that you missed. Sujood as-sahw will be enough, inshaAllah. We'll talk about the dalil regarding this issue. So the ulama, they said, if a person misses or omits a rukun on purpose from his prayer, then his salat is not valid. If it is takbirat al-ihram, for example, then the salat was not established if he misses takbirat al-ihram. Let's say someone is coming to the salat and the imam is offering ruku', and then he says Allahu Akbar with the intention of doing takbirat al-ruku', takbirat al-intiqal. You know the Allahu Akbar, the takbirah that we say when moving towards ruku'. If he does it with this intention, if he recites the takbir with this intention, that this takbir is for this movement, then his salat is not valid. Because it was not established. You need to say takbirat al-ihram to establish your prayer. Is that clear, ya ikhwan? Na'am? Tayyib. So, they said, if this rukun is something other than initial takbir, if he left it deliberately, then his salat is nullified. If it is due to forgetfulness, sahu, then the ulama, they said, if he continues his salat and reaches the same rukun in the second rak'ah, need to pay attention to this. He forgot a ruku' in the first rak'ah, and then he continued his salat. So he missed the ruku' in the first rak'ah and continued his salat. And then he reached the second rak'ah, and he remembered at the time of doing the ruku' that he missed the ruku' in the first rak'ah. What will happen? What is the ruling? He cancels the first rak'ah. The first rak'ah would be cancelled. And then he starts counting, or his calculation from the second one. And then of course, he added something, he added a full rak'ah here. Without ruku', of course, but it is like a full rak'ah. So he has to do sujood after salam or before salam? After salam. So this is the first case. So he cancels the previous rak'ah in which he forgot that rukun, and the following rak'ah will take its place, and he continues his salat, offers his sujood as-sahw after salam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now the ulama, they said, if he has not reached its place in the second rak'ah, what will be the, now what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to go back to it and then continue his rak'ah. They said it is obligatory upon him to return to the missed pillar if he did not reach its place in the next rak'ah. Like he missed ruku' in the first rak'ah, and then he did the two sajdas and he stood up for the second rak'ah. And he's still reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. He did not reach the ruku' in the second rak'ah. So what is he supposed to do? Na'am? No, he's supposed to go back. He's supposed to go back to the ruku'. Makes ruku' immediately. But the ruku' is the second or the first? Or the first. So he's neglecting the second rak'ah, going back to the first rak'ah. Na'am? It's not the same. Because if he's the second rak'ah, he's supposed to finish Al-Fatiha and finish surah, and then he's supposed to do a ruku', right? But here he was reciting Al-Fatiha and he remembered that he missed the ruku' in the first rak'ah. So he quits al-Fatiha. And he does ruku' right away, right? And then with the intention of completing what? The first rak'ah. Then he does another two sajdas again for the first rak'ah, to complete the first rak'ah. And then he goes into the second rak'ah. Is that clear now? طيب. An example here, they said he forgot the second sujood prostration in the first rak'ah. We don't need to go through this example because it's clear. The matter is clear, right? It's the same thing. طيب. The second case, omission of wajibat, ya ikhwan. Wajibat, I mentioned the wajibat, there are seven sometimes. They tell you there are eight. They distinguish between a tashahud, the first tashahud, and the sitting for it. Sitting for the tashahud, they count it as a wajib by itself. And some of them, they said, as-tashahud al-awwal wal-julusu lahu. So they put them together. The first tashahud and sitting for it, they put them together as one wajib. There is no big difference. But if you read some books, you will find that in some ulama, they count only three or four wajibat. At-tashahud al-awwal, the first tashahud, and maybe saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَمِدَهَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ and the other takbirs other than the initial takbir, and that's it for wajibat. And I told you it's better to be in the safe side, to treat the other wajibat, saying سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى in sujood, saying سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ in ruku', to treat them as wajibat. You will be, inshallah, in the safe side. Wallahu ta'ala alam. And qawli, or saying, Rabbi ghfirli, during the sitting between the two sujood, the two sajdas, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, Rabbi ghfirli, three times. The wajib is only one time. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, the wajib is only one time. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, the wajib is only one time. All the other additions are sunan, and they are recommended. Whether you recite them for three times or five times or a maximum 10 times. Even more than 10 times, if you are praying by yourself, it's okay. But they said it is recommended for an imam not to go beyond 10 times. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. It is recommended for any imam who is leading the prayer. Why? They said because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, when he was a governor of Medina, he used to lead Muslims in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Anas ibn Malik, he was a sahabi, a senior sahabi, who used to live in Basra at that time. He came to visit the city of Medina and he prayed behind Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. And then he said, after he finished his salat, he said, this young man reminded me about the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they counted his tasbihat, they found them around, they estimated his tasbihat in sujood and ruku', and they said they were around 10 tasbihs. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now I told you what is the difference between rukun and wajib, right? What is the difference? Question here before we question. Could you tell me what is the difference? What is the difference between rukun and sujood and wajib?
Wajib is something if you miss, you make the sajda for forgetfulness, but if you miss a rukun, then you have to, depending on how you missed it, you have to go back and finish that obligation.
You have to, yeah, so the rukun has to be performed. Whether you forgot it on purpose or due to forgetfulness, it has to be performed, the rukun. But the wajib, if you forgot the wajib and you left its place, this is very important. You left its place, because if you did not leave its place, then you have to perform it. It is an obligation upon you to perform it. Let's say tashahud al-awwal. It is wajib, it is not rukun. And you forgot that you have to do tashahud, you're about to stand up. You're just sitting, you're sitting. But you're about to stand up, and then you remember that you didn't do tashahud al-awwal. Then here, it is an obligation upon you to perform this wajib. Right? Or you stood up halfway. This is an example of tashahud al-awwal. So you come back and sit down and you do it. But if you stand up straight, you don't have to, because you left its place. You moved on from its place to the next rukun. So here you don't have to do it. And this is what happened to Rasulullah ﷺ. You don't have to do it. And you just do sujood al-sahw, and that would be enough, inshaAllah. طيب, Abdullah ibn Buhayna narrated a hadith from Rasulullah ﷺ. He said, the Prophet led them in dhuhr prayer. And he stood after the first two rak'ahs and did not sit, meaning he did not recite the first tashahud. So the people stood along with him. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. Whatever he does, they will do it. Nowadays, the problem with this case, if the imam stand up, the people will keep seating, and they will keep saying Subhanallah, 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 trying to remind him that. If the imam is knowledgeable and he knows that he's not supposed to go back, then there is a problem. And I don't know how we can solve it. But in many cases, I knew about many cases, stories here happening in Calgary, that the imam, the moment he hears Subhanallah, then he panics and then he goes back to the position of sitting. And he's not supposed to go back to. Because people, they think, khalas, this is making a mistake. He should go back. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a hadith sahih in Bukhari and Muslim. So Abdullah ibn Buhayna radiallahu anhu, he said the people stood along with him alayhi salatu wasalam. Then when it came to the completion, when he completed his prayer, and people awaited his salam, he didn't know what he will be doing. So he said takbir while sitting and performed two sujoods before salam. He prostrated for forgetfulness before salam. Right? And then he did his salam again. At the end, yani. Of course, he didn't do another salam. It's only one salam. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. So here there is naqs. There is omission. He left tashahud, the first tashahud. And it is not rukun. We know that it is not rukun. If it was rukun, Rasulullah ﷺ would have gone back to it, and then he would have recited tashahud, and then completed his salat. So this is a dalil that tashahud, the first tashahud, is not rukun. Some ulama even believe that the first tashahud could be sunnah, but the most correct opinion, wallahu ta'ala alam, that it is wajib. It is not rukun, it is not sunnah, it is wajib. If you miss a sunnah, and you don't do sujood, you don't have to do sujood sahu for sunnah, for missing a sunnah, unless you want. This is the difference between rukun and wajib and sunnah when it comes to sujood sahu. But if you miss a rukun, or you have some doubt in your salat, or you miss a wajib, then you have to do sujood sahu. Now when it comes to the third reason, which is doubt, shak. Now the ulama, they said doubt is to be uncertain about which of the two matters has occurred. You have doubt. You are not sure if you prayed three or four. Now, and they said, this is really important. Doubt is not taken into account in three cases. The first case is when it is a short thought. يعني no, it has no reality. خاطر. باللغة العربية تسمى خاطرة. You just thought about it, you might have made a mistake and then you just neglect it because you are sure about your salat now, you are confident that you are doing the right thing. خاطر, خاطرة صغيرة, short thought. So he said, you don't have to pay attention to this doubt. The second, when it occurs frequently, almost in every salah, the person has some doubt about his ruku', his sujood, then the person has to seek some help. He has to see a psychiatrist, or he has to, the ulama, they said, the person here should not pay attention to this doubt. And if he pays attention to this doubt, he will be like trying to fix his salat in every salat. Unless he prays with the imam and he does not miss anything, then everything is fine. These are the benefits of salat al-jama'ah. Praying in the congregation, coming to the masjid and praying with the imam. But if someone is praying by himself and he has this problem all the time, then the ulama, he does not. He's not supposed to pay attention to this doubt, this kind of doubt that happens frequently every day in every salat. Because here he needs some help, he has some problems. And the ulama, they said, if this doubt occurs after the salat is completed, then he should not. Mathalan, you prayed dhuhr, and then after you said salam and everything, after 5 minutes, and you start thinking, did you pray three or four? The ulama, they said, you don't have to pay attention to this doubt, you don't take it into account, unless you are sure that you made a mistake. Then you act based on that knowledge. Like you are sure now that you prayed only three. You don't say, no, it happened after, this doubt is happening after the salat, it's okay, you just ignore it. No. You ignore it if you are not sure, you still have doubt. But the moment you reach, you are able to make a conclusion, and you reach some knowledge about it, you say, no, I'm sure now, I prayed only three. Then you act based on this knowledge, that you prayed only three. So what do? You pray another rak'ah, and then you pray after salam or before salam, sujood sahw. Eh? After. Because you added what? You added salam. You added salam here. Because you added salam, and then you prayed another rak'ah, and you did another salam. You have to do another salam at the end. So the sujood sahw has to be after the salam, wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib. Now the ulama said, other than these three cases, doubt is taken into consideration. Yani we have to take it into account. Other these three cases. The first case we said, when it is a short thought, it has no reality, it's very quick. You don't pay attention to it. The second case, if it happens frequently in every salat, every day, then this is a problem and the person has to seek some help. He is not supposed to pay attention to this doubt. And the third case, if it happens after the act of ibadah is completed. Mathalan wudu, for example, the same thing. After you finished your wudu and left your house, now you have some doubt. Did you wash your feet or not? If you still have a doubt, then don't pay attention to this doubt. But if you're able to reach a conclusion, you say, oh my God, I didn't wash my feet. Then you have to wash your feet. Unless it is a long period of time, then you have to repeat the wudu. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, they said, other than these three cases, doubt is taken into consideration, and we have two cases here, or two scenarios. The first scenario is at-tahari, and the second one, al-bina' al-yaqeen. At-tahari is you start thinking about it and trying to make a conclusion. And then يغلب على ظنك, one matter in your mind is more weighty in your mind. Yani it's most, you're almost sure that this is the case. After you thought about it, this is called a tahari. So this is one case. And the other case is, you thought about it, you tried to solve it, you could not reach any conclusion. So here you do البناء على اليقين, you build upon certainty. What is the certainty here? If you had doubt about whether you prayed three or four, what is the certainty here? What is al-yaqeen? Three. So you go with a lesser number. You go with less, and that would be the yaqeen, because you have sure, you are certain that you prayed three, but you have doubt about the fourth rak'ah. Have you prayed the fourth or not? This is the doubt here. But you are certain about three. So you build on the yaqeen, on the certainty, and you count them as three, and then continue your salat. And then in the first case, in case of a tahari, when you are almost sure, or one matter is more weighty in your mind and then the other matter, then you do sujood ba'di. What is sujood ba'di? Is you offer sujood sahw after salam. In this case, when you thought about it and you were able to make a conclusion, you were able to reach some knowledge that most likely I prayed three rak'ahs or four rak'ahs. Now you are able to make a conclusion, to reach a conclusion. So you build on that knowledge, but you do sujood sahw after or before? After salam. When you are able to reach a conclusion Are you following with me now? طيب. The example here that the ulama gave, dhuhr prayer, not sure two or three. So in your salat, as I said, you think about it and you are able to reach a conclusion. Here, مثلاً, you're almost sure that you prayed three rak'ahs. So what do? You pray three rak'ahs, you continue your salat, but you do sujood sahu after salam. The dalil, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah said, if one of you doubts in his prayer, then let him strive at what is correct. Strive at what is correct, and he tried to reach a conclusion about it. And then complete it upon that basis. Then let him give the salam and perform two prostrations. Give the salam and then perform two prostrations. And of course, here, it's obvious you have to do another salam. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The second case, they said he could not reach any conclusion. And here, al-bina' al-yaqeen, and the salam, you have to do it, the sujood al-sahu, you have to do it before salam. That's the difference. And the hadith is clear about it, also reported by Imam Muslim. He said, if one of you doubts in his prayer and does not know how many rak'ahs he prayed, whether it is three or four, then let him cast away the doubt. He was not sure, he was not able to reach any conclusion. So فَلْيَطْرَحَ الشَّكْ, let him cast away, throw away the doubt and build upon what he is certain of. He's certain of three, he prayed three. Then let him perform two prostrations before giving the salam. So this is a clear dalil from Rasulullah ﷺ that in this case, when we build on that certain knowledge, then we have to give or offer the sujood as-sahw before salam. طيب. طيب خلينا السؤال بعدين معلش خليه في مخك وبعدين بعد ال بعد ما نكمل الحلقة إن شاء الله. I know many people have plenty of questions about this subject, but we'll try our best, inshallah. طيب, there is a very common case. It happens every day. When someone is coming into the masjid and the imam is praying, and the imam is offering the ruku', so the brother would join the jama'ah, and he would offer, مثلا, takbirat al-ihram, and then goes into ruku'. To catch the ruku' with the imam. Of course, it's better for him to say the second takbirah. But the first one is rukun. He cannot miss it, which is takbirat al-ihram, while standing up. You have to do it while standing up. The first one. If you do it while bending, there is a long discussion about it. A long discussion about it between the ulama and the four madhab. You go to the four madhab, in the same madhab, you find different opinions, whether his salat was correct or not. If you offer this takbirat al-ihram while banding. And I read all the tafasil of the madhahab, I couldn't reach a conclusion about it. So my answer to you, be in the safe side, offer your takbirat al-ihram all the time while standing straight. And then you go into the ruku'. If you miss the takbirat al-ruku', takbirat al-intiqal, the second takbira, it's okay. The ulama, they said your salat is correct and you don't have to do sujood al-sahw. Even though the takbirah here is wajib in regular salat. But in this case, the ulama, they said it's okay. As long as your intention was to catch the ruku' and catch this rak'ah with the imam. Because if it is the last rak'ah, and you catch the rak'ah, you're able to catch the rak'ah, then you get the reward of praying with jama'ah. If you don't catch this rak'ah, and then you miss this reward of praying in jama'ah, in congregation. And that's why the best option for someone who is late and the imam is offering his tashahud, the last tashahud, he should wait. He shouldn't join the jama'ah. The best option for him is to wait. Maybe he gets some other brothers who will join him and they make the form a second jama'ah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, we were talking about... The second case, he was not able to reach any conclusion. Now, a good example of this is when someone, as I said, he's late, he joined the jama'ah while the imam was doing the ruku'. There are three scenarios. The first scenario, he's confident, he's sure, he's certain that he was able to catch the rak'ah. while the Imam was making ruku'. So he made ruku' while the Imam was making ruku'. Right? He's confident about it. So here he did not miss anything. Everything is fine, right? He would just have to complete his salat. Whatever he missed before. He missed another rak'ah. Allah, that's okay. The second option or scenario, he's confident, he's sure that he did not catch the rak'ah. Then it will be a missed rak'ah for him. And then he has to make it after the imam. He has to offer this rak'ah after the imam gives the salam. The third scenario, he will have doubt whether he caught the rak'ah with the imam or not. When he was saying Allahu Akbar and bowing, trying to bow, going into the position of ruku', the imam at the same time said Allahu Akbar, rising from ruku'. So he was not sure. He's not sure if he caught the rak'ah or not. What is the solution here? What is the best option for him? Repeat. And now he's building on what? Certainty. What is the certainty here? He did not catch the rak'ah. This is the certainty. So bina ala al-yaqeen. So what would be his sujood? Before salam. His sujood sahw would be before salam. Allahu ta'ala alam. طيب ذي ساد المأموم يتابع الإمام إلا في السجود البعدي. يعني the مأموم, the one praying behind an imam, has to follow the imam with every movement, with every sujood sahw, except when the imam is offering sujood sahw after salam. The مأموم is supposed to not to offer sujood salam, sujood sahw with the imam. You know, the imam gave the salam now. Right? What do you do? And you joined salah, you were late. You stand up. And he said, يَقُومُ يُتِمُّ صَلَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمْ ثُمَّ يَسْجُدْ لِلسَّهُ. And you do the sahw, sujood al-sahw, after you finish your salat. You don't do it with the imam. Okay? Now, if the ma'moom, the one who is praying behind the imam, makes some sahw, a mistake in the salat, but he did not miss anything. He did not miss any rak'ah. He prayed four rak'ahs with the imam. But he missed a wajib, for example, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. This is a wajib, right? Is he supposed to do sujood al-sahum after the imam finishes the salat?
No.
He's not supposed. So here they said, you follow the imam. In this case, they said, you know, you pray your sujood, your salat, you complete your salat with him, and you don't offer any sujood as-sahw. لأنه ترجيحا للحديث إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به. The imam was only appointed to be followed, so do not disagree with him. But they said, in case he missed some rak'ahs, يعني he came late to the salah, and he made sahw, whether in the with the imam, he made sahw with the imam while praying with the imam, or after he stood up to complete his salat, he made sahw in the rest of the salat, the rest of the two rak'ahs, for example, he missed two rak'ahs, then he makes sujood sahw after he finishes his salat, because now he has no relationship with the imam, he's not connected with the imam, he's praying by himself. Do you see the difference? In the second case, he did sahw by himself. Even if he did this sahw while praying with the imam, he missed Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, or the dua between the two sitting. You know the problem with this dua? I see many brothers, wallahi, they don't say anything between the two sujoods. They sit down, and then they go back to the second sajda right away. And some ulama, they said that this is a wajib, the dhikr between the two sujood. Some of them said sunnah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اجلس حتى تطمئن جالسا. Hadith al-musi fi salatihi, the one who performed his salat badly, there was a man who came to the masjid and he prayed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musi fi salatihi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observing him, and then he said, irji' فصلي فإنك لم تصلي. Go back and pray, for you haven't offered any prayer. And then he prayed it again. He offered his prayer again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Salam, Salamu alaykum, irji' fa'innaka lam tusalli. Go offer your prayer again. And then he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, allimni, after three times. Teach me. Wallahi la uhsinu ghayraha. Yani, I don't know. This is the best of my knowledge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him, and he mentioned most of the pillars of salat yani in this. But he said, اجلس حتى تطمئن جالسا تطمئن يعني until you calm you are until you become sit down with calmness, you are comfortable in your julus, in your sitting, and then you go back to the second sujood. I'm talking about the two sajdas and the sitting between the two sujood. So you see some people doing the first sujood, sitting down and quickly going for the second sujood. What is the solution? At least say the dhikr. If you say it one time, then inshallah you'll be able to make the minimum amount of tuma'nina. Catch the minimum amount of tuma'nina, of calmness. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Tayyib, if a person does two mistakes in the salat, one of them that requires sujood after salam, and the other one requires sujood before salam. So the ulama, they said, yughallib sujood al-qabli. Then you give priority to the sujood before salam. In this case, you give priority to the sujood before salam. If you are confused, two mistakes in the salat, then you do it before salam, and that's enough. You don't have to do another sujood sahu after you do salam. Yani you do sujood sahu before salam, and then you make your salam, you give your salam, and then you do another sujood sahu, another salam. You don't have to do that. So sujood sahu before salam would be enough. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik. Shahadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.